at the end of the chapter. Not where Brother Jones left off. I made sure. The Bible says, try the spirits, whether they be of God. You got a good spirit here today. Good spirit. Real. The spirit was so good after lunch, I didn't eat dessert. We was fellowshipping over there, and I looked up, and it was gone. That's the way the church is going to be one of these days. You're going to look up, and it's going to be gone. But I really enjoyed the morning and services and the afternoon fellowship, and looking forward to the whole meeting. That's just a real blessing to me personally to be able to come. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 17 through 21. Paul, after he is admonishing and encouraging the church at Philippi to press on, he gives a warning, and I want to deal with that warning tonight. Verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. My message title tonight is, what kind of cross do you identify with? What kind of cross do you identify with? Paul told the Galatians, he said, there's those that are preaching another gospel, which is not another. And another gospel has another cross and another Jesus, another message. So we have to be careful. In the Old Testament, I want to just reference this right quick. I'd like to read it, but God told Moses when they were in the wilderness and they were about to stone Moses because they didn't have anything to drink and making all kind of accusations against him and inferring to God, because God was leading Moses, leading the people. Here you brought us out here to die in this desert. God told Moses, you go out there before the people, before the rock that is in Horeb. And God said, and I will go before you and stand before the rock. So God is before Moses, standing before the rock. He said, you take the rod which is in thy hand, and you smite the rock, and it shall give you water. I believe that's a picture of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Living water from that which was smitten. God was involved in that. God was there with him. Man, with his wicked hands, crucified our Lord Jesus Christ according to the purpose and will of God. And then in Numbers chapter 20, the people are in the same situation again. Now they're in their wilderness wanderings. And they don't have any water. And so God told Moses, he said, you go before the people and you speak to the rock and it shall give its water. And Moses went and smote that rock the second time. And he marred the image of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and what we receive in salvation. He marred that. And so God would not let Moses go into the promised land as a result of that. He said, you didn't sanctify me before the people. You didn't do it right. And folks, I'm going to tell you tonight, it's an imperative that we preach the cross right. And so we need to know what kind of cross we identify with. Of course, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he says here, Paul says to the Philippians, he says, now I have told you this before. This is so important. And I've told you the walk of whom I have told you often. So Paul repeated this. He kept repeating this. And now tell you even weeping. To me, that signifies that they had infiltrated the church. Some people were listening to this. I'm telling you, I'm weeping about this fact, and I have told you often that there are many who walk that are the enemies of the cross of Christ. You just mar the image. You just present the cross in a way that God didn't give it to us in the Scriptures, in a way the Holy Spirit. You make it more palatable. You make it more, we can receive it in a fleshly way better. And that's what I want to deal with for a few minutes tonight. They are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And what the cross of Christ means to us, means to the church, what it means to us in salvation. There are enemies of the cross. Now, the enemy here doesn't have to mean somebody like a radical Islamic Muslim that just wants to blow up any replica that the Catholics have in Israel of the cross. I'm not talking about all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about what we preach in the gospel as the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what God wrought for us in the cross of Christ, how all that affected us. And I believe it's important, as God gave Moses the instructions about the tabernacle, he said, you be sure that you make it at the pattern that I showed you in the mount. Don't you deviate from it. Don't you change it. Don't you make it after your own imagination. Anything that you would think, you do it exactly like I tell you. And I believe it is absolutely an imperative that we preach the cross like the Bible presents it. We don't preach a cross of our imagination. And I'll get into that a little bit later on. So Paul repeated this. Now, God says in His Word in James chapter 4, He says, know ye not that friendship of this world, or with this world, is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. There's enmity with the world. The world is an enmity with God. This world hates God. They don't want Jesus as Lord. And God's got to work in grace to bring a person to the conviction, to the submission, where he'll submit himself to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the salvation in him. But by nature, he don't like it. And by nature, we all, every one of us, we recoil at the cross of Jesus Christ in our flesh. Adam hates the cross. The Adamic man hates it. The cross is death to the Adamic man. We're crucified with Christ in His cross. And so Adam flees from that. I mentioned this in the message this morning. There's no greater picture of that than the apostles that Jesus chose to go with Him to the cross, that they may be a witness of His sufferings and His death and His resurrection. They were aghast that He was going to the cross. That's a picture of us in the flesh. Not so, Lord, be it far from Thee. Anything but that. Especially, let's go ahead and institute the kingdom now. We get this kingdom going. And they were arguing amongst themselves the night of His betrayal who should be the greatest in the kingdom. He's going to the cross. They're arguing who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And they didn't even understand the kingdom. And so He takes them to the cross with Him. And they witness all that went on. I mean, we have the eyewitness account of what they did to Him in Pilate's hall when He went before Herod. What the soldiers did to Him. The Lord made them watch that. And they did not like it. And it wasn't until the Holy Ghost was given on the day of Pentecost that they began to understand what Christ wrought for us upon His cross. And then they could preach it like God intended for them to do. The resurrection had to take place. They saw the cross as finality. Jesus saw the cross as a payment for the sin debt. The sin question was dealt with at the cross. Nothing else would atone for our sins. Without the shedding of His blood, there is no remission. Nobody in the Old Testament sins were paid for. Now, I know a lot of preachers have a heart attack right there. They say, well, you're saying they're not saved. I didn't say they wasn't saved. I said their sins were not atoned for. The Old Covenant was the promises of the Old Covenant never took away sin. We live under a better covenant, better promises, better mediator, and the cross brings a finality to the sin question. But the cross is not the end. When Jesus told them, and they would reject this, he said the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of Gentiles. They're gonna mock him. They're going to spit upon him. They're going to crucify him. And he's going to die on the cross, and he's going to rise again the third day. They never heard that rise again the third day. They didn't get that part of the message. Because their imagination of the cross was much like ours today. And we've lost this power of the cross. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, just right quick. Let me run over here and read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writing to the Corinthians that he had already been there and preached this to them. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 with the question of baptism. And I've argued this. If baptism is so essential to eternal life and salvation, which the Campbellites preach, why did Paul write in here, "For Christ sent me not to baptize"? Baptism has its place, but it's not in salvation. Okay? And so he says, "Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words." Now, my message title is, "What kind of cross do we identify with?" One thing preachers do today is try to make men understand the cross in the natural mind. When Paul said in Romans chapter 3, there is none that understandeth. You can't understand the cross, naturally speaking. You can receive what Jesus did for us on the cross by the grace of God as a gift, but you can't understand it till you get the Holy Spirit. And once you get born again, then you can understand what Jesus did for you. It's wrong for preachers to take sinners, so-called, under conviction, and try to explain to them something they can't understand. God didn't say, if you understand this, I'll save you. That's what preachers say. God said, it's a gift. If you receive this, I'll save you. But as many as received Him. Now, I know the mind's involved. But the mind without the Spirit, you can't. There's none that understand it. No, you can't come to the understanding as a sinner. You have to receive the benefit of what He did at the cross, and then you spend the rest of your Christian life learning to understand it and rejoicing in it. So in Adam, I recall at the cross just like the disciple did. I don't want to be crucified with Him. Let's just bypass the cross and go straight into the kingdom, which is what a lot of people preach. They make the cross, well, he says it right here. Let me read it. He says, "Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." So if you try to preach the cross with wisdom of men's words, you make the cross of none effect.
That's right. Amen.
Now, I didn't write that. I read what God wrote about it. And so we preach the cross as it's given to us in the Scripture and all of the horror of it. It's an instrument of death. And we have to identify with that to be saved. It's got to do the work it did in Christ from a spiritual standpoint. It's got to do that work in us, in our heart. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. And so we don't try to over-explain it. You know, when you read what Paul preached to the churches, to the Gentiles, he just preached the resurrection. He preached the cross and the resurrection. From the standpoint of the Scripture, he didn't go into a whole lot of explanation. Peter didn't, on the Pentecost, he just said, "This same Jesus, whom you with wicked hands have taken and slain, hath God raised from the dead." 3,000 people got saved. So you know, we try to use wisdom of words to explain it, and then thereby we make it of none effect. So we don't want to preach that kind of cross. That's what he says here. And so, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." To them that perish, the unsaved, those that don't care.
Yeah. Yep.
The preach, that's the craziest thing I ever heard.
Yeah.
To them that perish foolishness.
Yeah.
I can't understand it.
Right.
But he says, "But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." And is the power of God unto salvation. And so we have to be careful how we preach the cross. That's why we don't preach falling from grace. Falling from grace is not good doctrine. Falling from grace is what Moses did over there smiting that rock the second time. You put Christ to an open shame. Christ died once for sins. He took away the sins of the world when he died and bled on Calvary. Paid sins dead off. And now as our high priest, we just speak to him, and the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, keep on cleansing us from all sin. So what kind of cross, what did the cross do for you? What kind of cross do we identify with? Many kinds of crosses today. And I want to just give a few of them today, and let us make sure that we don't mar the image of the cross. Now, I'm real particular about this around my house and around the church, because people, you know, we're visionary. We look at things. And we see pictures of the cross. Now, I just noticed when God in the law said, don't you make any image concerning me. Don't you paint a picture. Don't you sculpt anything. Don't you create anything. But why? Because we're idolatrous by nature. We end up worshiping that other than God. That's what they did with the serpent on the pole. They call it Nehushtan. And Hezekiah destroyed that thing because they was worshiping the serpent on the pole. And Jesus coming on in John chapter 3, and he didn't start like Billy Graham with John 3:16. He started in John 1, and when you preach that and read that, you need to read that whole chapter. But he got into verse 14, and he said, "It's as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he was made to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So there was a transferal taking place. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree, and we receive his righteousness. And that's what happened at the cross. He suffered the penalty of our sins, the payment of our sins, the punishment of our sins, and we get his perfect righteousness by faith and what he accomplished for us at Calvary. And so God the Spirit is very concerned how we present that cross. And so Paul told the Christians, don't use wisdom of man's words. We're not going to do that. Just preach it in the simplicity that it's given. Now, I know there's more that happened on that cross and what God the Father and God the Son was doing. He blacked out the world and all that Jesus did. I know there's more we'll ever know. I understand that. There's depth we'll never understand. But we have to be careful when we present the cross, how we present it. What kind of cross do we identify with? Many crosses. First of all, I want to say there are pretty crosses. There are pretty crosses. You find these around churches a lot. You find these hanging in halls. I don't like, now you may have it, and that's your business between you and God. But I don't like to hang replicas of the cross around my house. Them things kind of show up every once in a while, years gone by, and say, we need to get rid of that. We need to get rid of that. A lot of people wearing crosses everywhere, crosses on their shirt, crosses on their car. I know some of you probably don't like this, but it's my message, and so I'm going to preach it. I don't like replicas of the cross. I don't like crosses that look like Gothic stuff and all kind of different variations of the cross. And going down to the local whatnot flea market and buying all these things. You go in the bathroom and there's crosses hanging everywhere. We need to be careful of that, folks. We don't need to be presenting that kind of stuff to the world. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He didn't say paint pictures. He didn't say haul stuff up and down the road and do all the kind of things people are doing today. He ordained the means to bring about the desired end. He said, you preach it from my book. Let me hasten on. There's pretty crosses. These are crosses that are all dolled up and painted and sculpted. Let me ask this question here tonight. Does anybody here think that his cross was pretty? You stop thinking about his cross. Does anybody here think his cross was pretty like a lot of people paint crosses and wear crosses and make crosses and hang them on the crosses everywhere? Now, I know. I understand. I know what we're thinking. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, we're marring the image of his cross. You can wear any. You don't have to wear that. You can wear anything. You can wear anything. And it's not what you wear. It's who you are. And so there's people that have pretty crosses. And they present that. I just noticed we sang the song, the old rugged cross. So there's pretty crosses. There's perverted crosses. We've lived to see a day when sodomy and this perverted lifestyle has become so accepted in the norm in our society that churches and preachers don't know that people don't go to the cross and come away a sodomite. People don't go to the cross of Christ and continue in this perverted transgenderism. And I preach here in this church. I had a preacher come up to me and say, "Well, you know, I know some sodomites is saved." I said, "No, you know some sodomites. You know some sodomites. Well, you just think y'all go out and blow them all up." No, I didn't say that. But the cross changes that lifestyle. He dies of that lifestyle. And by the way, let me just back up. The cross also changes cowboy lifestyle. And there ain't no cowboy church. And there ain't no cowboy crosses. And there ain't no motorcycle crosses. And there ain't no ball club crosses. All of that stuff is Adamic. It's fallen. It's depraved. God ain't got nobody riding motorcycles for him. God ain't got nobody riding horses for him. God don't have no athletes for him. He left the church down here to preach the cross. And you don't bring all that stuff and lay that on his cross. That's blasphemy. That's offensive to me. That offends me to see that kind of stuff. I don't. Well, they're doing some good. They're deceiving people. God ain't got so desperate he needs to deceive somebody into getting saved. Perverted crosses. Now this bunch of perverts are saying they're Christians and God made me that way. No, God didn't make you that way. Let me tell you something about sodomy, transgenderism, and every bit of that. And you don't forget what I'm telling you here tonight. Every bit of that is an unclean spirit. When Jesus got out here, he was just unclean spirits were everywhere. And he cast out unclean spirits. Sodomy is unclean. It's unnatural. It's ungodly. The angels that left their first estate, God cast down to hell. Reserved them in chains of darkness until the day of judgment. And when a little boy or a little girl by a mother or a father or a grandparent that don't have enough sense to get out of the rain allows that little girl to act like or think she's a boy and promote that, which is what's in our schools today, you are opening them up to the devil, to an unclean spirit. You're just saying to the unclean spirit, possess my child. Well, do we read in the Bible where children are possessed with unclean spirits? You better read it. Children, how'd they get unclean spirits? Well, they lost the protective custody of their parents. They lost the power of true spirituality. The devil was all in Israel when Jesus got there. Amen. And I'm telling you, the cross, just it kills that perverted lifestyle. But no, not today. A lot of these religionists and these organizations, they don't know how to take a stand. They don't have what they need to take a stand against that stuff and the corruption that's in it. Or they're afraid to. Therefore, religion is adapting to this now. Effeminate. Effeminate. That's what Paul called it. He said, but such were some of you. And you come by the cross. Now you're washed from that. You're washed in his blood from that. Now you're cleansed from that. And now you separate from that. You don't accept that. You don't accept that no more than you accept drug abuse and any other kind of immorality. So, but now that nowadays we got pretty crosses. Well, they're soft crosses. Preachers like soft crosses. Velvet and cushions and everything nice and soft and easy, nothing hard, and something happens in the church and, you know, things get a little wrinkled like they do because we're all Adam's descendants. We just want it soft and easy and this, that, and the other. Man, there wasn't nothing soft about his cross. I mean, you stop thinking about his cross. Let your mind and your vision with the Scriptures go to His cross. We are a soft generation. We can't take nothing. If the air conditioner goes 3 degrees above my comfort zone, I ain't going back. We're soft today. Can I say to you, when Jesus came down here to call the first members of His church, He set first in the church apostles. You ever thought about what kind of men He called? He didn't go to the local seminary and call men never had worked. Now, I'm not saying people like that can't get saved. I'm not saying that. I'm saying what the Bible, what Jesus called. He bypassed religion, went over yonder to the seashore. Guy's been up all night, fishing night and day, tending nets, not catching anything, working. Oh, gnarly hands, rain blowing in on them, storms coming in on them. That's his disciples. He called an old a publican, Matthew, that sat at the receipt of custom, rejected. Every Israelite hated him. But Jesus saved him. And He called him. And he was used to hardship and being rejected. Talk about that. And then He led them for 3.5 years. Christ led them to every little city and village in the whole nation. I mean, He went from top to bottom. He gave Himself to them as their Lord and their King. And from the littlest of the cities all the way to Capernaum, Bethsaida, and Corinth, they all rejected Him nationally. They rejected Him. And a remnant believed on Him. These soft crosses today. Pretty crosses. Easter's coming up. You'll see a bunch of this stuff. All kind of replicas and things. And I know it's entrenched in church work today. But I'm going to preach against it. That ain't the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. We don't butter this thing up and make it look pretty and hang flowers all around it. Wasn't no flowers in that graveyard when He got up. As far as I'm concerned, there wasn't no flowers in there. We just put resurrection morning flowers because it's in March and April around the cross and talk about this and sunrise, nice, pretty sunrise services and all of that. And then we got the Easter Bunny in here and we got all this other stuff in here. And we bring all this junk and we profane holy things. No wonder we ain't got no power in the churches no more. We need to keep this thing like God said it. Can you imagine? Those early church members knew what that cross meant. They watched them kill Him. And He done told them, except the man deny himself and take up his cross, he cannot be my disciple. They knew what that meant. We don't know what that means today. No. We're too soft. We can't take the cross. Oh, I believe in the cross. What kind of a cross? What kind of a cross do you identify with? What kind of a cross do I believe in? So you got soft crosses. And they say, don't be so hard. Well, what's soft about the cross? The cross was for hardened criminals. You know the Lord Jesus died as a criminal? A criminal? I mean, if you'd read the paper that day, they said 3 criminals were executed out on Golgotha. And they, of course, he was innocent, but they charged him as a criminal to die the most painful way of execution there was. Right. Prophesying us smooth things, soft stuff. You know, when Jesus told them, except you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no part with me, they didn't understand what he meant. Right. Most people still don't understand what he meant. But they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear this? And they turned and walked no more with him. You know what he said? He looked to his apostles and disciples and said, you going with them? Or you going to stay? And Peter said, well, we really don't know. I'm paraphrasing. We don't know what this means, but we know you got the word of life, eternal life, so we're going to stay with you. And Jesus kept saying, he that continueth with me. He that continueth with me. So many false doctrines have come from that because people say, well, you got to continue to stay saved. He wasn't talking about continuing to stay saved. He that continueth me to my cross, to my resurrection, to my ascension, let me finish the work, my Father. Stay with me till I get this finished for you. Amen. Amen. And you drank my Blood eat my flesh means you appropriate my death on the cross. And we commemorate that now with the Lord's Supper. The fruit of the vine. This is the blood of my testament, of the New Testament. This is my body, which is broken for you. We take that in commemoratively. But there's no power in it to save us. And so he wasn't talking about transubstantiation like the Catholics come up with. Soft crosses. There's a little bitty cross for teeny weeny Christians. Little bitty cross. Little bitty. That's for teeny weeny Christians. So called. Now don't go too far in this. You know, I mean, I'm crucified with Christ, but I mean, just don't go too far. Well, what kind of cross did you get? Oh, I just got crucified on a little bitty cross, about that big. It wouldn't crucify a thumbnail.
That's right. Amen.
You go read Romans chapter 6.
Yeah.
Talk
yeah.
about he that is dead. You go read Colossians chapter 3.
Right.
You're dead and you're Christ, alive and here with Christ in God. You go read what that cross affects in the natural man, the Adamic man. I'm going to tell you something. Adam had never quit recalling that cross since it was first introduced to him. Today, what's happened is we've marred the image, we've changed the meaning of the cross. There's the jokey cross. I a little levity to introduce somebody and stand up, I do it myself a little. But there's some men that make a living preaching being jokey.
Yeah,
no seriousness. And see, they like that because they get a response to it. You preach that cross and Adam flees. People reject that like they did in his day. They make a mockery of it. They mocked him when they come by. Amen. And so we got jokey cross today. Everything's funny. Tell a joke. Make everybody laugh. Oh, you know, I've had them tell me before, you need to come up here. This preacher's up here holding a meeting. I said, well, is it any good? Man, I'm telling you, he is funny. Really? That's what I want to go hear. A funny preacher. Most of them are not funny. And if I'm going to hear a funny preacher or hear a funny man, I'll go to a man who knows how to do it. Pay the money to get to do that. I'm not down here to hear a funny preacher tell jokes about the Lord's work. That's what I got against all this contemporary singing, all this music been amalgamated together now. Got all this music, and I can name some names, but I'd probably offend somebody here. And all this singing now, and they just joke and laugh and make a man, old long-haired men, you know, and all this stuff going on today. Amen? Jokey stuff. Make it easy for him. I don't want to die. How much, let me ask you this, how much of you gets crucified? Does everything get crucified? Does a total man die? Everything. I have no right to nothing in my body. I read right there, who shall change my vile body? Is your body vile? If you don't know it, let me let you in on a little information. Your body's vile. Everything that comes out of you stinks. We cover up our breath, our body odor, and that's as far as I'm going. Everything of the natural man decays. It's vile, folks. But see, we've done with our body like we've done with everything else. We made it pretty. We put on scent, and I'm pleased. You know, but it don't save you. And he changes our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And then lastly, there's the educated cross. Now Calvinists like the educated cross. I don't know about y'all, Calvinists, and I don't, you know, I'm not here to start nothing. But Calvinists, I deal with them where I live. Yeah, I try not to, but they won't leave me alone. Because when you preach against easy believism, they love that. Are we okay here? A Calvinist goes into this superior understanding, and he'll name you 47 books you got to read before you can understand really what salvation is. You know what I tell them? I'm going to tell you what I tell them, and you can tell them. Y'all don't even know what the gospel is.
Yeah.
Well, you know, now he was a... No, I'm preaching. I'm going to say, you don't know what the gospel is. Your salvation is based on election.
Right.
So when are you elected? Oh, bless God, for the foundation of the world, we're elected. Really? so you don't have to come to the cross. So you don't have to come to the cross. Because you're elected. When you go to the cross, not you're elected to it. Well, what does that do to the gospel? What does that do to the doctrine of repentance? What does that do to the doctrine of self-denial? It's superior education. I don't feel inferior to folks, man. I don't allow myself to get around a bunch of people and start feeling inferior. I don't want to feel superior, but I sure ain't going to feel inferior to somebody that doesn't, that tries to tell, well, you just don't understand. Oh, I tell them, I understand real well. You are wrong. You are deceived. You ain't going to heaven unless you go by the way of the cross. Well, I know, but if you're elected to it, you'll get there. Well, no. What about that rich young ruler that wouldn't die to self? Jesus said, one thing you lack, thou shalt have treasure in heaven, take up your cross and follow me. He would not do it. Amen. Educated crosses, not with wisdom of the word. Let me finish here tonight. The Lord Jesus' cross was shameful. They designed it to be that way. God designed it to be that way. God designed His Son dying on a cross in shame. Now Christ turned it to glory. Okay, and I understand that, and I love the cross. And I glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in its giving, it was shame. Those Pharisees mocked Him. You saved yourself. You saved others. Come down off the cross and save yourself. Shameful. Mockery. That's the cross. So if you identify with His cross, you're going to have some shame come your way. I tell my church all the time, y'all are ashamed to bring people in here and listen to me preach. But I mean it. You're ashamed. If you really cared about their souls, you'd bring them in here and let me preach to them a little bit. But see, you're ashamed of it. His cross was shameful. His cross was a cross of suffering. We're called to suffer with Him. His cross was agonizing. His cross was world-killing. Flesh-denying. He denied Himself. He said, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Guess what? No other way. No other way. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's where you got to come to. That's what you come to. Whatever Jesus went to, now we can't take His place, and we can't suffer like Him. God don't see the travail of your soul and get satisfied. I've told people crying around the altar for months on end. I said, listen, God don't see you travail and get satisfied. God saw the travail of His Son and got satisfied. You need to accept what God did for you in Christ. Why do they do that? They're confused by preachers. Flesh denying. He says here, our conversation in heaven. Let me identify this. He says, for many walk, whom I've told you often, now tell you even weeping, they're the enemies of the cross of Christ. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. Fleshly appetites. That's what they make the cross fleshly appealing. Whose God is their belly. He goes on to say there, and whose glory is in their shame. They ought to be ashamed of that, but they glory in that. Like all this stuff today, all this social fall, this perversion, and people glory in that. Oh, they'll fight you over that. Whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. We don't preach a cross from an earthly standpoint. We preach a cross as the Lord presents it to it. And I tell you something else, folks. If you go by the way of the cross and you're crucified with Christ and you live in Christ, you won't be ashamed of His cross. Once you pass through that experience, there's no other way. The old man has to die. And God rules him dead at the cross. Not in His mind. By faith we go there. And Jesus wrought it for us. When He said it's finished, it was finished. His work on earth was done. And we go there by faith and we die with Christ at the cross. That takes care of the Adamic man in my life. And that's what Romans chapter 6 reads. His cross is the cross of helping others. You know what he was doing on his cross? Helping others. Who are you helping? Are you a receiver or a giver? I hear these priests talking about how much they get, how much they receive. How much they receive. How much they receive. How much they receive. Monetarily? Is it okay? How much they receive. We all bless God. How much we receive. How much we receive. You know, Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive. His cross is a cross of helping others. That's what he was doing. Helping us. Paying our way to heaven's glory. So if you get his cross, it's a cross of helping others. It's a cross of giving yourself up for the eternal needs of others. His cross is a cross of self-denial, pain, and affliction. His cross is confusion to your closest acquaintances. Your family don't understand it. Because of his cross, Jesus said, a man's enemy shall they be of his own household. They don't understand it. They don't understand his cross. Therefore, they think you're crazy. And they sure don't want that. Die to self? Well, you know, God knows how I feel. God don't operate on your feelings. Your feelings get crucified at the cross. And so it's confusion to those. And so he says, Galatians, let's turn there and I'm through. Brother Jones will come. Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. If you're not crucified to this world and the world crucified to you, you ain't been to his cross. You've been Baptist cross, church cross, preacher cross. You've been to some kind of cross, but not his cross. Amen. What kind of cross do you identify with? Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand our feet. Just Wilson's going to pick out something to play, and you may need to come to the altar and pray.